Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. Good to be with you. With you for the next 60 minutes as we'll hit on a variety of topics related to the NFC East and the New York Giants. 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. Can't get to the phone. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. We'll get to your tweets as well. And we want to remind fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. So this is the week for the combine, and we'll certainly delve into that. But also the big topic of today's show is the draft obviously comes after free agency.
Yep.
Free agency is going to dictate and determine what these teams do in the draft. How is free agency perhaps going to impact the makeup of the NFC East? And we're going to go over each team, the question marks entering free agency, what they'll look to address, and some of the key players in the mix as well. And then obviously we'll get to your phone calls and your tweets. But before we do that, Jeff, it's been a little bit since we have interacted on this program. How are things?
Well, I'm doing good. How about you? It's just miss you a little bit.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
Once the season ends, it's like everybody leaves.
Yeah.
And everybody goes and does their own little sweet little thing, you know, Schmelk and Tatino basketball. I know you're doing some basketball. It's just that's good. But I'm just still stuck on football.
Yes,
I don't move from that. I don't know much about basketball. I like the NCAA tournament. I don't watch much NBA basketball. My kids do, and every time I see it on the television, I just walk out of the room. I don't enjoy it. I figure if I want to watch NBA basketball, I can just turn on the last 3 minutes of the game.
Nobody's going to argue that, especially this season, considering how well the Golden State Warriors are playing.
But I would much rather be watching golf on the weekends. But it is a little bit brutal these days because there is really nothing in my mind that's worth watching on TV on the weekend. But I guess that means I should be doing work around my house then.
Yes.
So,
well,
but
we won't tell you better half that, I guess. So.
But as we move into, you know, coming out of February and coming into March, this the calendar starts to turn, and we understand, at least from a player's perspective, when I was a free agent, that this is an exciting time for a lot of different players. And I think that's also not only is it exciting, it can be a little bit humbling to some players too. And I think that, you know, you look at some of these lists that come out, the top 100 players, and you kind of see how these numbers the rankings change all the time. Of course, I think the first 20 probably they're not going to change. They're there, maybe movement a little bit. But, you know, you look at some guys, you know, here and there, they drop quite a bit. And so that's kind of it's discouraging if you're on one of those lists that early and then all of a sudden you're starting to move down,
stock
down
changes.
And down. And, you know, as you move down, the money goes down. So, but it'll be interesting, and we're going to focus a little bit on the NFC East and try to go team by team and see where their needs will be. And it's all obviously will be impacted by which players on these particular teams leave and, you know, the movement between them, not to mention our own New York Giants, and see what's going to be happening with them. I think it's an exciting time to be a Giants fan because of the fact that you have a new coach, you got a new staff, you got new players, you got $60 million to spend on the cap, you got you know, all good things going. You got the number 10 draft pick. So a lot of things happening in Giantsville and soon to be an exciting time.
You got flexibility in terms of assets, as you just laid out, Jeff, in terms of what you have in draft positioning as well as free agent financial flexibility. And I think the common theme between all of the teams in the NFC East, at least entering free agency, it'll be very interesting how they go about their business. But it's safe to say all four defenses have room for improvement. I mean, that specifically was an issue in this division. The question is, are some teams going to take the approach where we're going to go heavy spending in free agency and try to make a big splash? Or do we feel that there's some depth, and there is depth at the defensive line in the draft, we're going to maybe go in a younger direction? That, I think, is going to be the interesting question that will emerge once free agency starts.
And I think each team is different. I think their philosophies are different. I think that you have to look at particularly that how important is the need. If you talk about the New York Giants, the need is for a pass rusher because JPP is a free agent. Robert Ayers is a free agent, and you really are limited now to the guys that are there. And you look at Kerry Wynn, look at some of these defensive end guys that, you know, really double O coming back. We don't really know about double O. That's the one thing that everybody has to understand is that, he was drafted last year, didn't play. So we got to kind of understand about him. But, you know, the Giants' need is there. So where do you go first in free agency and the money you spend and what's left for everybody else? But I think certainly that's the number one need for the Giants, in my opinion. And if we could go on down the line to the other NFC East teams and see where they're at.
Well, in terms of the defensive line, as you mentioned, JPP and Ayers being the two cornerstones, the edge rushers, that's going to bring question marks depending on what plays out. And then on top of that, Prince Amukamara, to see what happens at the corner spot. If he were to leave, you would need perhaps a complement to DRC, or at least you need to add some depth, given the fact that somebody else would move up the depth chart. Plus, Tremaine McBride's a free agent, Jeff. Yeah. It's not just Prince. People need to keep in mind some of the backup cornerbacks are also set to hit the market.
And they're backup cornerbacks. They're not starters. I think that that's one situation where you go out and you find a veteran to be your other corner. When you think about, who can start in the National Football League at what position, when you're asking, your first rounder has got to be a starter. Well, are the Giants going to, if Prince leaves and they're stuck with no real starter out of cornerback, do they draft a cornerback in the first round? No, they don't. So, I mean, in my mind now is like, there's going to be a free agent move there. You're going to need to go out and get somebody in free agency. And who's out there? Everybody talks about Norman, but Norman's not moving from there. He's not going to leave. They're going to franchise him, or, they'll do a deal because he's not going to get out of there. But I didn't think he was all that great anyways, in my opinion. I know he's very good. I don't think he's one of the best in the league these days.
Well, he had a career year. I think that's what probably helped his market.
And I will tell you this. If there's ever a time to have a career year, it's when you're on a contract year.
Yes. So it'll be helpful.
It is very helpful. And really, go to the Pro Bowl and go to the Super Bowl and all that stuff. So now he's going to get a contract out there. But, Lance, when you talk about needs at a positions, you got to look at it's free agency first, or your own team first. Can you re-sign your guy? Second all, can you go out in free agency then if that guy leaves and get a quality player? And then if you can't get that guy, can you draft that quality player that you think can start? So that's kind of the sequence that you would look at. I look at them drafting I look at them going out and getting a defensive back in free agency too.
Well, in terms of the defensive backs, you mentioned Josh Norman. I threw out earlier in the week, Sean Smith's probably the other guy up there from Kansas City, also spent some time with Miami and so forth, given his size, his versatility. But, when you really look at the free agent corner market.
Not much.
Not a lot, Jeff. Yeah. I mean, Prince is actually up there, I would say, in terms of when you look at the household names, the notable commodities. He's right up there in the mix because there's really not a lot of depth there.
Yeah, and I think that most teams will look at his history and how many times he did not play. That's where when you look at a free agency and you're going to give somebody a lot of money, you want to get a return on your investment, and that return on your investment is a guy that can obviously everybody gets hurt in the National Football League, but what is the return on your investment as far as time played? I mean, these guys missing games, how many times have they been on IR? Those kinds of things, they all come into effect. So part of your resume, if you will, when you go into free agency is your propensity to stay healthy and be on the field. And that's what a lot of teams look at before they're going to give you all that money.
Cornerback and defensive line, as we just discussed, those to me are the two key positions to watch as the Giants enter free agency. And the reason why I'm generic with that, because keep in mind, Prince is a free agent. Tremaine McBride's a free agent. Jayron Hosley's a free agent. So three corners are set to be free agents for the Giants. Then in terms of the defensive line, Jeff, we talk so much about Robert Ayers. We talk about JPP. Let's not forget Cullen Jenkins is also a free agent too.
Okay.
In addition to Marcus Coon. So I'm not necessarily evaluating the individual players. I'm talking in terms of numbers. You're set to potentially have a number of guys on the defensive line and a corner test the market, which means if everybody doesn't come back, you're going to have some holes to fill based on the numbers game.
Yeah, and I think that Jenkins is one of those guys where he'll just kind of have to wait and see on him, where he's going to go. And I think you also have to look at the health of the guys that were hurt last year. Are those guys going to be able to come back? I would like to see the Giants, you know, go out and get another defensive lineman, interior defensive lineman, a tackle that can really get after the quarterback. I mean, we are all used to the Giants' defenses of getting in the face of these quarterbacks and getting pressure on it. If you remember, Lance, up until the ninth game or tenth game of the season, the Giants had alone like maybe 9 or 10, 12 sacks on the season.
Yeah.
Steve Spagnuolo's defense predicates itself on pressure. But what else does that have? You have to have is you got to have good cornerbacks. Well, now they're going to be missing a guy. So there's a lot of emphasis on the defensive side, as we know. And it's going to be interesting to see where they take that stack of money and move it to where to which position and how. Haven't you talked much about linebacking position? You got the retirement of John Beeson, okay? Jasper Brinkley,
he's
I thought, was
agent.
Was a great pickup last year, and I think that he deserves to come back if the Giants want him to come back. I mean, wow, what a nice job he did. You got the health of Kennard. Is he going to be able to get back in the lineup and stay consistently in the lineup? Those are all things we got to think about going into free agency in the draft at the linebacking position.
Well, Jeff, I think you hit on a key note in terms of the structure of the defensive line, because you were talking about how you want to get pressure. We emphasize so much about the edge pressure, but you want to get pressure from the inside. And remember, 2 years ago, Jonathan Hankins has a career year,
yeah,
where he was up there in terms of 7 sacks. He was getting to the quarterback, and I think that was somewhat of a pleasant surprise based on what happened at Ohio State.
Those were
State.
Big numbers.
The
yeah.
Big number. I mean, that was a big splash. That was a nice bonus for the Giants pass rush. He unfortunately got hurt last season, and his sack numbers weren't nearly up where they were or the same pace. You want to get that back because, I mean, just think about it.
I do.
It's common sense. When you get interior pressure, think about what it does for the two guys on
Freeze
the outside.
Them up. Yeah. And I think that just like anything in the National Football League, as a rookie, and you play a lot as a rookie, you're unknown. And you kind of get overlooked a little bit because they're looking at the other guys that they know
the
about.
Names,
they're game
so
planning these guys. Well, then fast forward to your second year, and those coaches now have a whole offseason to start looking at the guy, the interior lineman that had 7 or something sacks. Little light bulbs go off, and they say, okay, we got to pay attention to this guy. And it happens. But so that's why it's important for the players to do self-study and to be able to say, okay, this is what the coaches are going to be looking at, and I got to be able to try to develop another move, try to get better at my footwork or this and that. And that's where the coaches come in hand. They say, hey, listen, let's work on this offseason. Let's get in the film room and let's talk about your technique. Maybe we're going to move you inside to a 1-2-3 whatever it is you want to play, that we can maybe get a little bit of more leverage out of you, and that's kind of how you become a better player.
Now, in terms of competition, because obviously we're talking about the NFC East as a whole, you know, we're saying defensive line, cornerback, the two primary positions of emphasis as the Giants enter free agency.
Safety.
Other teams, safety too, depending on obviously how things play out.
Yeah,
but at
Nat
least
Burhey
is
starting
veteran.
To getting a little bit better. You know, I read on today, so he's starting to run, and we'll see what happens with him.
And a number of the other young guys returning from injury. Bennett Jackson, he went down early. So they do have some young options, but I think
Kale Thompson.
Correct. He's another guy who went down early, too, who was born in the draft. To get that veteran, though, to complement Landon Collins, that clearly is going to be something interesting to watch. There are, though, a number of other teams, Jeff, in the division that you could argue they're also going to need some help on the defensive line as well as cornerback. To me, most notably, I would say the Cowboys. And the reason I throw out the Dallas Cowboys, Greg Hardy's a free agent, and also Jeremy Mincy, who was probably one of those guys like a Hankins, falls under the radar but did a nice job getting to the quarterback. So, like the Giants, they're going to be also out to beef up their pass rush. They weren't very high up there in sacks last season.
And they just had a guy suspended for 4 weeks.
That doesn't help them, correct, Randy Gregory, yes.
So, you know, Hardy, I just don't see them. They learned their lesson on him. I think most teams probably have learned their lesson on him. And it's a shame because, you know, he really had a second chance. And this is my opinion that, you know, and then all of a sudden you really kind of see his true colors come out once he has a job again. You know, he's late for meetings. He doesn't show up for this or that. It's just like you can't change a zebra stripe, in my opinion. You just can't. The Dallas Cowboys thought they could, and it did not work, and now they're not going to sign him back. But they are going to have a deficiency. They have a high draft pick, which leads us to, you know, what do they use that draft pick on? Are they going to value that defensive line position as high as that backup quarterback position that Dallas certainly, you know what happens last year. They can't find a second-team quarterback. Are they going to go out there and groom a guy, you know, like Goff, whoever they can go out there and get in the draft, and see what happens? But if it's me, I'm going after another quarterback because I think that they don't come along that often. I think that Tony Romo has, you know, he gets hurt, and this is a guy that you can groom through the system for a couple years. The old Brett Favre, you know, Aaron Rodgers kind of theory. But if he did get hurt, he's a first rounder. He can just step in and play.
So you like the younger route as opposed to going to another veteran or bringing back, let's say, Matt Cassel to give him a full offseason to learn the offense?
Nope. I am a firm believer in the younger guy because of a couple things. Number one, they can be on a rookie contract for 5 years. They're going to make their money up front, okay, but it's not nearly as much money as you're going to have to pay, you know, I don't like the backup veteran quarterback position because I feel like those guys are always wanting to be the starter. They're going to, you know what I'm saying? So I like the young guy. I like the young guy. I like the development, but it has to have a plan. It has to make sense. And it does make sense to me that you bring in a guy, somebody like that, behind Romo to learn because Romo's going to not, he's not going to play forever. He's got probably maybe 3 years left, maybe two. The guy doesn't need any more money. He just needs his health. That's what he needs. So I like the younger guys. I really do.
The Eagles are also going to have a similar question because Sam Bradford's a free agent.
Yeah.
Where do they go? Do they bring in a free agent who's younger, like a Chase Daniel, who has been rumored based on his ties to Doug Peterson in Kansas City, or do they perhaps look to draft a young guy as well?
Yeah, and I don't know where they're sitting in the first round. I obviously Dallas is ahead of them. But, you know, that's interesting because I think that where are the Eagles in their development of a team? Are they in a win now mode or with a new coach? I don't think so. I think they're with a new coach. I think that their philosophies are obviously different than it was last year. But I think that you have to kind of look at what the coach wants to do, what the organization wants to do, where they want to go. And how are they really thinking about this season? They need a quarterback. So, I mean, one would be to sign back Bradford, who, by the way, had a pretty decent year last year.
Stayed healthy last year.
And I think that, you know, it helps when he was getting the ball out of his hands quickly. You know, that's that offense that they ran. But, you know, what is the Peterson offense? It's going to look a lot like what Andy Reid ran in Philly years and years ago. So, but Sam Bradford's not going to be cheap. You know, and they're probably going to have to sign him to, you know, maybe a couple years deal. And he's had health problems at least. So I don't know. What do you think?
I think there's a huge risk long term specifically, or if you give him, you know, like $20 million a year, because, you know, even though he stayed healthy, he played 14 games this past season, he doesn't have the track record. But I'm always of the thought process, you know, when you start to think, well, we don't want to take the risk on this player, we have a better option elsewhere, and you take a chance, let's say, on a Chase Daniel, who's very much unproven.
Yeah.
He's been behind Drew Brees, he's been behind Alex Smith, or you take a chance on a young guy, sometimes there's going to be a lot of growing pains.
Yeah.
If you go in that direction.
Well, that was my point, like, what's the philosophy of the team? Are you in a win now, kind of want to win now, or are we willing to take our lumps with a young guy? But, you know, is that what I'm seeing? They're 13th?
Eagles are 13th, correct, in terms of the draft.
And I haven't studied the draft enough to know that, you know, when you look at the top 13 teams, you know, who's thinking about those quarterbacks. But, you know, you got to think Dallas is one of them. And there's one other team in there.
Well, San Francisco, depending on what happens with Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. Cleveland, clearly, we're assuming they're going to go after a quarterback.
So there's probably not going to be, you know, another first-round caliber quarterback available by the time they get to 13.
If Dallas doesn't take a quarterback, I can see maybe one or two going before Philadelphia. There's a chance only one guy goes. Philadelphia, if they want to take a quarterback, I think they're still going to be in a position where they could grab, one of the remaining prospects, because there's about four quarterbacks that at least people are considering, three if you really want to obviously get into the nuts.
So you look at their quarterback position, you look at their, you know, their offensive line situation. You know, Jason Peters is probably going to, you know, retire, or he's already retired. I don't know, but I mean, you got to look there. I mean, I haven't gone into it enough to know by position where these teams need to be. What about their receiving position? You look at the guys that they have coming back last year that played pretty well, but in my mind, Philadelphia is number one is the quarterback position. What are they going to do? And again, we talk about how you're going to go from free agency, and then if you don't get anything in free agency, you go to the draft, and where do they pick somebody up in the draft?
Well, I would agree with you, and then real quickly, and we're going to get to your phone calls here in a second at 201-939-4513. It's actually quite interesting how outside of the Giants, who are solidified at the quarterback position, we talked about the Cowboys, we talked about the Eagles, the Redskins have a question mark with Kirk Cousins. So all three other teams are heading into free agency with question marks about the quarterback position, and the Giants know that's taken care of.
Yeah.
So, you know, that at least puts them in a position we can address other needs. But Washington, I think their biggest question mark, Jeff, is what do they do with Cousins? Long-term deal, short-term deal? Let him test the free agent market? Are you sold based on what you've seen in the last season? Do you think that there's room to grow under Jay Gruden? I think there's room to grow. I think he improved drastically in the second half of the season. And, you know, if I'm the Redskins, too, it's the same thing. You get rid of Cousins, who are you bringing in? You know, RG3 is going to move on, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think by default, they have to somehow work out a way to bring him back.
And, you know, it only makes sense to franchise him, you know. But, I think that it's clear that Jay Gruden liked him all along. You know, I mean, he stuck with the guy. He stuck with him. And then look what happens. He had a really good season this year. If I'm Jay Gruden, I'm going to management going, hello, guys, I told you about this dude. I stuck with him.
He's a good fit.
He's a good fit. He's a good leader. I think the town likes him. The team likes him. We got to sign this guy back, and they would be foolish to let him go. So whether it's franchising him at whatever million, I can't imagine what franchise tag for quarterbacks
is. Well, it's in
25,
the ballpark of $20 million.
$20 million bucks. So I mean, then they're going to have to sign him. You know,
the good news is, though, you give the player the franchise tag, and we've seen this with other players, then you have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal.
Sure.
So the franchise tag is just to make sure that you know you have
the rights. That you have a quarterback.
Correct.
Yeah.
Just like what we're going to see with probably Von Miller and the Broncos and then Muhammad Wilkerson and the Jets.
Right.
And like you said, maybe Carolina and Josh Norman. We just want to make sure the guy can't talk to anybody else.
Yeah.
After that, we've got a few months where we can obviously work out the logistics.
And I think if you franchised Cousins for 1 year – and make him prove himself again, you know, then obviously he's going to get a little bit more money next year. But you got your quarterback.
You do have your quarterback. But then I think the franchise tag goes up to $24
million. Next year?
The following year. So if you franchise tag him again, now it's going to go up, and eventually you're going to have to work out some type of
long-term agreement. Well, I'm saying you franchise him this year, and you know you at least got him for $20 million this year?
Correct.
And then if you get a deal done, you get a deal done. But I think the talks have broken off with them because
they have. But I think that's just part of the negotiation, as you know from being in the NFL, Jeff. I think that
I don't know. I never knew about any of that
well,
stuff.
Well, I'm not saying the
$20 million.
Yes, I wasn't necessarily alluding to that, but I think you understand the politics of the
negotiation. I am signing on the dotted line when they're going to give me $20 million. I can tell you that right now. So, but that's
so they never laid the franchise tag on you.
Never.
Jeff.
No, I was and really, you know,
career.
The franchise tag is used a lot on kickers and punters.
Correct, yeah.
I mean, it really is almost – it's pretty exclusive to those guys because and here's one thing that maybe a lot of viewers and guys listening don't know about the franchise tag is that if you are – a kicker or a punter is given the franchise tag two times, the third time – and it doesn't matter if you are on another team. Your third time as a franchise, guess what you get franchised at?
Must be a good number, I'm
It's
assuming.
A huge number.
I was going to say.
It's a huge
Boy,
number.
I couldn't even.
It's up there. You now go to a positional player. I'm assuming
it's got to be double digits.
It's
then.
Double digits.
What is it, about 13?
Yeah, 13 or 15 million, somewhere
so
that. But it might even be quarterback money.
Can you imagine paying $20 million
for a kicker?
You're
not getting it. It's the stupidest rule I've ever seen in my life, but you're only allowed to be franchised really – when I say you're only allowed, because the third time it ain't happened, you can't be franchised. And if you are, you're going to get $20 million. Forget it.
Well, that's what Drew Brees was in that circumstance, too. When they franchised him so many times, eventually there's a limit.
There is a limit.
You've got to work
something
out.
Yeah, exactly. But the kickers and punters, the third time, they get big money. You know, yeah.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if a team would like to experiment and go down that road.
Don't think so.
Yes, 201-939-4513. That's a telephone number. Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. All right, let's open up the phone lines here on Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Free agency, obviously a big discussion there. You want to weigh in on the combine and the draft. Everything is up for debate. Marco's in Connecticut. He gets us started here on the latest edition of BBKL. Marco, how's everything?
Hey, Lance. Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just got a couple points. One point to make about the draft and then one to make about free agency. And I'd like to hear what you guys think about it. Yesterday, I was listening in. Paul was making some points about some of the players that were coming up by callers. I think someone brought up Jalen Smith, the linebacker from Notre Dame, who I really, really like. I even with his status right now, I would, just as a Giants fan, I would say I think he's worth, even if he was going to miss three or four games, which I don't even know what his status is, I would say he's worth it. But obviously a lot more things need to shake out. I think Giants fans are pretty cautious with injured players, and rightfully so because of what you know we've gone through the last few years. But Todd Gurley, the running back from the Rams, I think is going to make teams think differently about Jalen Smith and Miles Jack, the linebacker from UCLA.
Well, I think what happens,
go ahead.
A little bit about injuries and just what I know about them over the years that I played is that, and I've learned that every player is different.
I was just going to say that.
And their whole, the way that they rehab and how they come back from injury. So you look at the guys like Todd Gurley who amazingly came back the way he did. And if you look at the timelines and when, you know, Jalen Smith got hurt and when Gurley got hurt, I think Smith got hurt later in the year. But I think it is very – you have to – and I agree with you, especially when you're paying first-round money for these guys. You have to be pretty – you got to be careful with the injury. And I think it determines a couple things. Number one is do you trust the doctors that have seen him? And do you trust your own doctors enough to evaluate to say, okay, the long-term effect is this. The immediate effect is we think that this guy has good bones. We think he's can rehab. Let's look at his history. What he has been hurt prior to that, has how fast has he come back from things? So a lot of medical questions asked, a lot of medical questions answered before something goes into that. Absolutely.
Okay, I can't say enough good things about him, and I think if a guy like Jasser Brinkley was to stick around, mm-hmm. And hopefully I feel pretty confident what the Giants are going to be able to do in free agency. I think what a piece, man, to just have with you as. You know, Brinkley maybe starts. Who knows what happens with Jalen Smith down the line. And I think also Von Miller, watching him in the Super Bowl, and Khalil Mack, how he's come along. Paul was talking about tweeners yesterday and that guy Noah Spence, the kid who got kicked out of Ohio State. And Paul said he wasn't crazy about tweeners. I think someone like Von Miller or Khalil Mack is also going to make you think differently about that position that these rush players, linebackers, defensive ends, man, they're coming in all shapes and sizes, and we need someone who can get after the quarterback. So I'd be on board if he was in the plans. And then here's this last point, and I'll jump off after this. This is about free agency. Prince, Ayers, and JPP. These guys right now, they're up for free agency, and I'm sure they want to get the best contract they can. I think because our depth has also been hit, and you could go down the lines and why personnel, draft picks that haven't panned out. These guys, I think, could help on this team. And I'm being a little greedy when I say this. I don't think Prince could be the number one here. I don't think JPP can be the number one defensive end. And I know in free agency that they're probably going to be getting that kind of money somewhere. But I think a guy like Prince could help here as a piece in the secondary because he's proven he could be a good player when he's healthy. I just don't know if he should be getting all of that number one money. And Robert Ayers is an important player here, but he's important even more so, I think, if there was a number one guy on the other side. So Pierre Paul as a piece, and then what the Giants could do with some other players in free agency. So I'm a little conflicted there on how, like, you know, what role I'd like to see these guys stick around. But I think our defense needs more players, so I don't necessarily think we should just let these two or three players go because we have holes to fill all over. What do you guys think about that? And I'll give you my
real quickly on Prince. I think you're right. I don't think that he's going to get the number one money that he wants, and I think that if the Giants can convince him to, he's going to go out and test it and see, and then sure enough, if he comes back to the Giants and says, hey, you know, I'd like to stay here, but this is they're going to give him this number. They're going to give him their number, not his number, and say, if you want to come back, this is it. I think you make a great point with Robert Ayers, and I think in comparison to this, if you look at the way that the season went last year, look at Robert Ayers' production when one JPP came back onto the field. The last three or four games of the season, Robert Ayers had a lot of sacks.
Coincided with one another.
So I think you're correct in a sense that, you know, if you had, if it's JPP, that's fine. But if you had another number one speed rusher and you could sign Robert Ayers, the thing about Robert Ayers is that he stacked on some serious sack numbers the last 2 years. And I think that somebody's going to probably go out and give him some money. And he'll gladly take it. But it's like you have to put that defensive end in place on the outside, and then if you can sign Robert Ayers at a number that you could afford him.
Ayers had one sack before JPP returned. JPP then came back week 9 at Tampa Bay, Jeff, and then after that, Ayers had a sack against New England. He had 2 against the Jets. That's 3. He had 1 at the Dolphins. That's 4. He had 2 more against the Panthers. That's 6. He had 1.5 against the Vikings, 7.5. And then he had another one against the Eagles. 8.5 sacks he had with JPP in the mix.
Yeah.
1 without JPP. So I think that is a telling statistic.
It is a telling statistic. It's a great call and good point. And I think that that's something the Giants are definitely looking at going forward.
Now, the other thing I will add to that, aside from obviously looking at those numbers when you evaluate in making the decisions what you want to do in free agency, most of the teams, Jeff, that we have seen get to the Super Bowl have depth at the defensive line. So it's not so much about whether or not we've got a legitimate number one or we got a legitimate number two. It's about the fact that you have about 5 or 6 guys that you feel you can rotate and interchange inside and outside. For example, look at Denver.
Denver
had a number of guys.
Yeah.
Seattle,
yeah.
Cliff Averill, Michael Bennett, you know, some of the linebackers they brought down to the line of scrimmage. And the Broncos, the same thing. Malik Jackson, Danny Trevathan, Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware. So it's volume, which the last caller was alluding to, as opposed to we get 2 strong guys that we know we're going to utilize every single down.
You need 8 of them. You need eight guys. 6 of them you can count on, I mean, day in and day out. And the other 2 guys are your swing players. One of them is going to be deactivated on Sunday. You know, one's going to be hurt. But those are your dudes, man. You got to have them. And they got to step up and they got to play. And the other thing that if you want to get excited, go ahead. But understand that look what happens in systems that are in place for 1 year moving into the next. And for example, let's look at Ben McAdoo's offense year 1 to year 2. Let's go ahead and just say that we weren't impressed with Steve Spagnuolo's defense last year. However, that the pieces are in place. The terminology is there. The how things are run. The whole system is in place. We're not going out there replacing all 25 guys on the defense. So there is going to be a little bit of a learning curve going forward, but majority of the guys coming back are going to know this defense a little bit better. Landon Collins in another year under his belt, okay? So you get Hankins and these guys that did another year. Kennard and is Castillas and Jasper Brinkley going to be back? You got Cromartie already out there. So I think that there's a little bit of promise there from the defensive side if we plug in the players that we're talking about.
Let's head back to the phone lines. We got Vic in Florida. Vic, welcome aboard. What do you have for us?
Good afternoon, Lance and
Jeff. There you go.
Good afternoon to you, Vic.
The way I see it, I've been a Giants fan for 50 years, and the way I look at the Giants today, they need a whole lot more players than we're talking about, okay?
Well, we can only get so many.
Defensive back, running backs, we need receivers, we need offensive line, and this is so forth and so on. Now, like I said to Paul and John the other day, this is my view, and you can cut me off anytime you want, okay? As long as Jerry Reese runs the club, we will never, never go anywhere. Oh, yes.
He already
won the Super Bowl.
Well,
sure, he won the Super Bowl. They were 9-7 when they won the Super Bowl, okay? Not a great record. They barely made the wild card. And then, of course, they caught fire and they went on from there.
Well, Ron, believe it or not, and I don't mean
to.
Ron, I don't mean
to. I'm sorry to say this. And you can cut me off anytime I want.
We're trying to cut
you
off.
We're trying to, Ron, we're trying to get a word in here. I mean, I want to let you continue, but, you know, we want to have some dialogue back and forth. I don't necessarily have an issue with you weighing in. I mean, I think you have to understand your point about the fact that teams catch fire. It looks like we lost Ron here. His point about teams catching fire, actually, if you look at the track record, Jeff, think about how many wild card teams have won the Super Bowl in recent history. I mean, I wouldn't hold much substance.
The recipe to win a Super Bowl is not that you have to be the number one seed and win your division and all that stuff. It's be healthy and get in and see what happens. That's exactly what happened to the 07 team. It's what happened to the 2011 team. It happens to teams like, you know, look at the last 5 years and just go back and look at and see what's happening. So other than this year, you had the two number ones, and, you know, that's only an anomaly. It doesn't happen all that often. So, but listen, and let's not – we all understand that the organization has said, and we can go on here and look on it online and see it, that there has to be improvement. We got to have improvement, okay, this in going forward. Jerry Reese has put his neck out on line saying, you know what, the buck stops here with me. We are going to make improvements. We've got money to spend. We're going to do what we got to do, and let's the jury's out. So, and I think that he can go out and put a team on that field to compete in this division. So all we're trying to do is compete in the division, Lance. We're not trying to compete in the NFC West. You know, NFC is three other teams.
Easiest way to get
it. Better than those guys, and we'll be okay. All right? And so that's how you start. And if you do well in your division, you may even get a bye in there too. So you only got to win two games to get to the Super Bowl, and there you go.
I think when you evaluate teams, the easiest way to go about it is look at the standings, stare at the standings, and say, oh, well, this team won 10 games, this one team won 12 games. First of all, the divisions fluctuate. Look at the NFC South. Carolina was 7-8-1, won the division this year. They were a dominant team.
Yeah, look at the NFC West.
Exactly. It's gone up and down.
Yeah.
So every year the narrative is going to change. That's why I think the goal for every team is consistency from your personnel, your roster, as opposed to we have to win 12 games, because if we don't win 12 games, we're not going to get to the point. Hey, the Redskins won 9 games this year. They won the division.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's kind of as we were going through the season, we kind of hit on that number like, okay, we think 9 is going to be the number. You know, maybe 8. But
based on how the trend was, yeah, I thought 8-8 would have done it.
And – you know, you talk about all the games that the Giants lost last year, and they did lose those games. And it comes down to just in the NFL how hard it is to win, and what the difference is in winning. You know, it's guys that can make plays. I think that's another kind of focal point on this team that didn't do a lot last year. They didn't make a lot of big plays. You know, we weren't getting excited in the games on these big plays, sack, strip, fumbles for touchdowns, pick sixes, bombs here. Yeah, we had Odell Beckham. But, you know, from the other side of the coin, there wasn't much to really write home about every week.
Balance, where multiple weapons can do that, then obviously that will stretch out the defense and hopefully open up other opportunities. Let's go to Ron in Georgia. Ron, welcome aboard. What do you have for us?
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Feeds, what's going on, man?
Doing well,
much,
Ron.
Man.
How's
not
everything
much.
With you?
I hope I'm a better Ron than the last caller, but I wanted to talk about the draft and these players with pre-existing injuries. And not everybody's going to be like an Odell or a Todd Gurley. And when it was 2-3 years ago when we got Beeson for a 7th-round pick, I liked the pick just for the fact that yeah, he's got an injury history, but he's got a lot of high upside. And I just don't think taking a flyer on a player like Miles Jack or Jalen Smith or Shaq Lawson, for that matter, that has significant injury history at this point early in the draft like that is really going to be good for us. We need to go with healthy bodies that we believe can produce.
Well, given the fact that
I think about that.
Ron, I think that's a fair point. Yeah. I mean, the team has dealt with a number of injuries, but I thought Jeff hit it right on the nose earlier in the program when he said, you know, every player is different. So, you know, just because you bring in a guy who's got a track record of getting hurt, we've seen players who are hurt and banged up in college, Jeff, and then all of a sudden they're 100% healthy in the NFL, and then vice versa. They're perfectly clean bill of health, in college, and then all of a sudden plagued by injuries in the NFL. So I don't really think there's one exact script that you can go by in terms of saying we've got to stay away from this player, we'll only go after these players. You have to believe in the medical records, as you said. You have to believe that the player's a good fit for the scheme. And one other thing I'll also say with respect to specifically the linebackers that a number of people have weighed in on, just based on the track record of this team. Last time they took a linebacker in the first round, I say this every single year, was Carl Banks in 1984. So it has been some time since they have selected a linebacker in the first round.
And I will tell you this, that, you know, you if you're going to take a chance on anybody, I would take a chance on guys that are 22 years old and 23 years old that can still kind of come back, you know. John Beeson, for example, was a healthy football player at Carolina. You know, he played a lot of games, but unfortunately, he was not 22, 23 anymore. So, you know, and then and once he got those injury bugs, and the older you get, the harder they are to overcome. So I see your point. I think there's a lot of people that can argue this point, yay, nay, but it is a very – it's a tough thing to grasp onto if you're an organization wanting to give first-round money to a guy that's coming off an ACL. You got to be very, very confident. But as you say – you don't think that they should take that chance just because of where this football team is. We need a guy that we can count on, that first rounder, giving us some production and on that field come September.
Yeah, that's exactly. But didn't Beeson have the knee coming out of Miami?
Well, yeah, but you know, coming out of Miami though. Okay, but look what happened. He went to Carolina and he went to the Pro Bowl and he was healthy.
First few
so
years, he was
that's
healthy.
What I'm saying. The younger guys have a better chance to stay healthy than a free agent that has an ACL that's coming off maybe 2 years ago or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So, but I kind of come to agree with you that where this team is today, at your first round pick, has got to be somebody that's going to make some plays and play for you on Sunday this September. Kind of like Landon Collins, okay, because he wasn't a first rounder, but they gave up their seventh round pick to go get him, and they just threw him in there and said, "Dude, you are going to play, and we need some experience." Well, he's got it. How much better is he going to feel about himself this year in Spagnuolo's system, second year? And we all know when we talked about Spagnuolo's system last year at the beginning, who was the one person that was so important to Spagnuolo's defense? It was the safety position,
and you
got a rookie now that has. He's still a rookie. He's got three more games.
In terms of the math. Well, but the thing is, he also, I would say, beyond knowing Spags' system, Jeff, he also has a taste now of the NFL.
Exactly.
He's gone through the whole process, so it's now natural as opposed to, you know, walking into a situation, you know, where all of a sudden, wow, this is the first time I've experienced
it. But very
this.
Good point, Ron. We appreciate your calling in today, buddy.
Thanks so much, Ron.
Okay,
real quick.
Yeah, I'll take it off the air, if that's okay.
Yeah. What else you got, Ron?
Okay. I understand what you're saying about the 22-year-old able to you know come back off the injuries better, but being as we're such an injury playing team and we have the 22, 23, 24-year-olds coming off these injuries, it really doesn't make sense to add one on to. So what do you think about that? Appreciate it.
Yep. Well, Ron, appreciate the phone call. The one thing I was going to say, Jeff, I think what happens a lot of times, a player in college gets hurt right before the draft, and then we all of a sudden tend to label that player as injury prone when that really could have been only their first major injury.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't studied Miles Jack and Jalen Smith, you know, what they went through in high school or middle school.
Right.
I mean, I'm not necessarily privy to all those medical records, but just because they got hurt right before they got into the draft doesn't mean that they're quote-unquote an injury prone.
No. And that's
player.
Why I said that these teams do their due diligence. I mean, these guys are they're talking all the way down, and I'm not lying to you. They go all the way back if they can find them. Find that youth football coach.
Pee-wee
find
football,
that
yeah.
high school football coach, college coach, mentor, basketball coach. They talk to all these dudes, and they want to know about this guy. And they want to know about how he, you know, so his high school coach says, you know what, I remember his sophomore year he got hurt. But, man, this dude worked his butt off, and he came back way before the season. Those are the things you like to hear. Opposed to the guy that says, well, you know, that guy, I remember he got hurt and we just couldn't, we never got him back and, you know, he's lazy.
The rehab process didn't go well and
so they got to get that kind of information. And I think that, you know, the one coach that they go to, the scouts, that they put a lot of credence in is the strength and conditioning coaches. Because those are the guys that, you know, you got to get back in the weight room when you get hurt and you got to strengthen. And it's not fun. I mean, it hurts. Not only does it hurt getting hurt, but it hurts getting back because you got scar tissue and you just got things that just, you know, I just got done with it. And I mean, it hurts. But you got to have guys with, you know, that grind and want that will to get better. And you got to get it from the coach, the strength coach. That's the guy you got to ask. You know, how is he in the weight room? Was he on time every single day? How did he put in time after whatever he was on his workout? Lance, here's what you're going to be doing today, buddy, and you get it done. Is he doing more than just that? So all of that goes into, and because you know what? It all goes into this right here, man. If you're doing more and they'll pay you. They'll give you
because
the money.
Because they trust you. They trust that you're going to put the work in.
Absolutely. And we hear it and we see it every single year. Johnny Manziel. Okay, let's talk, you know, I don't know who they were talking to. I don't know which guys they were talking to.
Not the people that you would have recommended.
Oh, my God. But they missed on that one, man. So, but it's important because it's a lot of money. A lot of money.
Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players. If you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. All right, let's head back to the phone line. Speaking of people that they should do a lot of homework and research on, Charlie is in Portland, Maine. Charlie, what's happening?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Hey, Lance. Hey, Jeff. How y'all doing?
I'm doing all right, Charlie. I don't know. We'll see how this phone call ends. Then I'll tell you how I'm doing. What's happening?
All right. Get ready. No, I got a couple. One thing is like, what I have a problem with is Jerry Reese is, look at Philadelphia. Philadelphia has signed already their core players. They signed about four or five of their core players, got their free agent signed, Lance Johnson, their tackle, a couple of the defensive guys, and they just signed Jenkins, their safety. Deal's done. And one of the things that Jenkins said was, it's so nice to be appreciated for the work that you do and to have them take care of business and get this thing done and do it appropriately and with respect. You know, and that's one thing that Jerry Reese has not done yet.
Yeah, he has.
Signed,
Charlie?
He signed what?
Well, who did he sign back?
Huh?
Who did he sign just the other day? Pro Bowler? Been captain on the team. So nice.
Oh, God.
Come on.
One guy.
Well, you said none. He said he hasn't signed anyone. Yeah, he has. He signed one. He signed Diossi.
And Pepe Le Pew from France. That's all.
You had to get her started, Jeff. See, now he's going to go on a whole thing, and there's going to be a comedy routine and
you know what?
Dog and pony show.
Charlie, you're just like my kids. You can't say you didn't sign anyone because that's a lie. Yeah, they did. They signed one. So you have to say, you have to rephrase
it. They didn't. You think he's a core player on the team?
Are you kidding me? Yes, he's a captain on the special teams team. Look, you know what? You're one of those guys, Charlie, that you don't know how good they are until they're gone. Just go.
No,
remember what happened to trade.
Look, I think it's great that they signed him, but what I'm saying is, where are all the other guys, free agents? We got 20 over 20 free agents.
Well, but
he
Charlie,
has only signed one person, and there's
20 of them are the guys that are appreciated.
Well, but Charlie, look at it from the opposite side of things, and I say this a lot when it comes to the new negotiation. You're coming from the team perspective, and you're wondering why it hasn't gotten done. What about the players' perspective? I mean, there's the agents involved. A lot of these guys may want to test the market, and they're not so quick where they want to get locked up.
How come the Philadelphia players didn't want to test the market?
Well,
Charlie.
No, and I'll let you continue. Let's use Philadelphia as an example. Malcolm Jenkins just got locked up the other day. Malcolm Jenkins publicly, you know what he said? Malcolm Jenkins said, "I spoke to my agent. I wanted to stay in Philadelphia. I was content. I said, go to Philadelphia. Tell them right now, if you want to lock me up, I'll do it. Numbers, let's hammer it out now. I'm not interested in testing free agency," because Jenkins was entering the final year of his deal. Jenkins was the one that ignited those talks, and he's been on the record saying that.
Why did he ignite that talk, though, Lance? He ignited it because they already signed three or four of their other core players.
Well, that could be possible.
He knew who was going to be there, and they knew that they
Charlie.
Wanted to...
It's possible,
right?
But you're 100% right. It's possible that was one of the factors, but to say that
sure
was definitely the only reason why he jumped the gun, I wouldn't necessarily go that far. Just
okay,
because he saw Zach Ertz and Brent Celek sign up, that doesn't mean he was going to get it.
You tell me what they do. You tell us what they do.
He said, this is a guy who just wrote a column. He said, it's not always the biggest names that sign or re-sign during the combine. He's talking about the Giants specifically. The Giants locked up last year Kevin Ogletree, where is he now, and offensive lineman Dallas Reynolds. It could be said that the defensive tackle Jenkins or a linebacker like Jeff Brinkley could be signed this year during the combine. It's usually the players with the less negotiating power that gets deals done in Indy. Now, that's what JR does. He, you know, he signs these, you know, he the problem I have with him is he should have urgency now. Since he's on the hot seat, he should have urgency to get all our free agents done before free agency so he can concentrate on the guys out there and the holes that we have to bring in. Now we're going to be concentrating on guys leaving, and now we're going to create more holes. Are they going to come back? Aren't they going to come back? And he's going to miss on people. He's going to miss on people, and then we're going to have to fill some more holes in. So I just have a problem the way he does things, and he's been doing it. And there's other teams that do it other ways that it seems a lot more proactive and better for their team, like Philadelphia. Now, I'll leave that alone.
No, Charlie, you're not leaving.
Go ahead.
All right. You say yes or no if you're Jerry Reese and you're going to these guys early and you're going to sign them because of what your philosophy is. Okay? You ready?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Beatty, what
they
do with Beatty?
Here.
Okay. Beatty, they let him go. Okay? His cap was, you know.
I would have negotiated with him.
Okay.
And lowered his cap price.
All right.
And we would have had
Pierre,
one less hole.
No, we got to go quick. Pierre Paul and Prince?
I would definitely sign Pierre Paul back.
Is Pierre Paul going to sign with the price that you're going to give him? No. Prince? No. He's going to go out on the open market.
Well, I would respect him. I would give him a price that is respectful. Yes,
okay.
I would.
What about
Prince? I would let go.
Jermaine McBride?
No, let him go.
Okay. Josh Brown?
Yep, sign him. He should have been signed by now.
Okay. I know you want Reuben Randall back. You told me that,
no,
right?
No, I don't. Let him go.
Okay. Hosley?
Let him go.
Mosley? Reynolds?
Go.
Marcus Kuhn? You don't have to answer that one. David Daniel Fells? He's not
going to
come back. Craig Dahl, you going to have him back? He's a free agent. You're going to be quick to sign him back? I would sign this guy back in a second, Jasper Brinkley, in a minute.
Oh, yeah, I would, too.
But my point is that if we go down this list, there isn't as many guys as you're thinking that are there to say, hey, man, you're one of our dudes.
Before the contract expires.
Before the contract expires.
That's the key thing. Sometimes you need – sometimes, Charlie, you have to understand, you need to see them play out their contract to determine whether or not you want to truly invest in them. And, Charlie, listen, appreciate the phone call. We do want to
get
to
the few others here. We love arguing with everybody.
We enjoy the back and forth tremendously, yes.
And I can't say have a nice weekend because it's not Friday like my usual spot. It's only Tuesday. So have a nice week, Charlie.
Yes. Oh, I can guarantee you he'll have an eventful week. I don't even need to wish him an eventful week. I know that. We want to try to squeeze in a few more phone calls here. Henry is in North Carolina. Henry, what's happening?
Good afternoon.
Hey, Henry. How are you, man?
I'm a long-time Giant fan here from the early 60s.
Very good.
Welcome to
Jeffrey. I love the Giants, man. I've been with them all this time. Most of the time in the past I was in New York, but we're down here in North Carolina now. Just a few thoughts about the upcoming 2016 draft. And I just want to hear what you think about this. And after I lay out what I think we should do, I'll get off the phone
right.
And you guys can kind of respond to this.
Sure.
Prudent and realistic as it relates to this upcoming draft. Last year we were 10-6, but we were not far. Excuse me, we were 6-10.
Yeah.
We were not far from 10-6. As bad as we were on defense, we were very close to being 10-6. Now, if we approached this draft and said to ourselves, look, it's not likely we're going to become a top 10 defense this year. But if we can go from, let's say, 30, 32 down to 22 and reinforce even more our offense, we have a good chance of making the playoffs. Eli's only going to be around from 3 to 5 years. We've got to give him a little bit more help. And what sticks out in my mind is that game last year with Minnesota when Odell wasn't there and it was clear that we really need some more on our offense. I'm thinking that the guy that would help us tremendously is Ezekiel Elliott. And the reason why is, first of all, he's an outstanding runner. He's going to be an outstanding blocker, and he can catch the ball out of the field. We've got to get more, a little bit more on offense, and then give us time over the next 2-3 years to constantly improve our defense. If we can get up to about 22 as far as our overall defense is concerned, and if we could reinforce our offense by getting a back like Elliott, we have three backs, but they're not on the level of this guy that's coming in. We could be in a position, plus the division is not that strong, we could be in a position to go at least 9-7, perhaps 10-6. I'm going to get off the phone and just see what you think about that.
All right, Henry, appreciate the phone call. I mean, first of all, and thanks so much for weighing in. First of all, you know, when we say the division's not that strong, I sort of am very leery of those statements because free agency hasn't happened. And like I said, there's a great deal of parity in the NFL. One year could have a rough go in the division. The next year could be a powerhouse division. So it's too early to say that, you know, the division's going to be identical to what we saw play out.
Yeah, you got to think it's
going
to get better.
You assume everybody's going to improve based on health, the guys that missed time, and so forth. The Giants finished 7th. Overall, on the offensive side of the ball, Jeff. So, you know, based on what the last caller, Henry, said, you know, you want to reinforce the offense. Okay, I mean, you've gone to a point where, you know, you're able to put points on the board. Regardless of some of the injuries, they were able to put points on the board. I think it's the defense that has to be the focus because
there's no question.
You've got to make leaps there. I mean, think about the teams that made the playoffs.
Yeah, no,
very few teams were outside of the top 15 in terms of where their defense was ranked. You're not talking about just going the 20th. I think you want to strive for a much higher ranking on defense.
Offensively, this team 2 years ago was really good in the red zone. Last year, they weren't. Okay, I think that's because you were minus, in my opinion, a tight end that was just learning and that slot receiver that you didn't have. If you got Cruz down there, that this is going to change. I think that their offense will be fine. I think they'll improve in the red zone. I think they'll go out and get a receiver. We'll see what happens with Vic Cruz, see what happens with his health. But no question in my mind, your emphasis is improving this defense. And more importantly, improving this defense in the middle of the field. My God. Lance.
Yeah.
I mean, you could throw anything in the middle of the field. You could throw the kitchen sink out there and somebody would probably catch it. I just don't understand how we got to be able to, the Giants got to build that defense from the line, move it back. Linebackers, safeties, corners, we got to get somebody and really revamp that defense and come up with some impact players, some guys and make some plays, big plays.
And you also have a lot more free agents on defense, too. Based on the mathematics, that's why defense is going to be a much bigger focus this offseason.
And, you know, I think you can get some players in the draft to make a contribution on the defensive side. I think it's a little bit easier to do than an offense, player to make that type of strides. I think you see more players in their second and third year coming in on offense, where on defense you can get a guy to come in right away on the draft and play.
Ezekiel Elliott, who the last caller threw out, first of all, it's very rare that running backs go in the first round. And, yes, I know what Todd Gurley did. But, you know, when we're talking about if defense is your primary focal point, I don't know if a running back would necessarily jump over the need plus the fact that there are going to be impactful defensive players around, Jeff, when you select at number 10.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, when we talk about what each team is different, the philosophy that we have heard about with the Giants organization is the best one who's there.
Yeah.
No matter who it is. And so will the Giants stay with that philosophy knowing that they have a lot of holes to fill defensively? You know, if he's there and they have him that high, do they take him? But that's what's so interesting about the draft. You never know.
Based on how the evaluation and so forth plays out. All right, let's try to get another caller in. We got Len in Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hello, Len.
I know you're running up against the end of the show, so I won't be too long. You know, Charlie was trying to make a point, and I think he got there. But when you're 7-9, 6-10, 6-10 in your last three seasons, you got to break the mold, guys. You can't use the same old formula. We got to think differently. People aren't going to come here for the money that we're going to offer them. They're going to come here for more. We're 6-10. We got to entice people to get here. I know Bergen County is a great place to live, guys, but people aren't going to come here because they can live a great life in Bergen County. They're going to come here for the dollars. We're going to have to overpay for a year or two and get some impact players. And, you know, the prime spot for the impact players, Jeff, you're absolutely right. I heard your frustration. The safeties were just, oh, my gosh, you just can't. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Hey, Jeff, I want to correct one thing that you said a little earlier.
Sure.
Maybe you did. I'm actually on my cell phone, and I had to get off. I had to stop listening and make a call. But when you talked about trading up for Landon Collins,
yeah,
it wasn't just the seventh-round pick. We gave up a fourth-round pick and a seventh. And
we didn't give up the fourth round.
And we had to move up.
Well,
we had to move up six. We gave up our – We gave up our second.
Up the fourth and the seventh. I thought we gave up a seventh
round.
Multiple swaps,
to
make that move with Tennessee.
If I had one criticism of the move up to get Collins, I like the kid. I hope it works out for the Giants. It's obvious we need somebody else back there to help him out a little bit. We need somebody to cover the whole field, etc. All the stuff we've been talking about the whole offseason. But we went a long way from pick number three to pick number five. I think 65 guys went off the board. I know a lot of those guys are playing in the NFL. Now, you're not going to get 65 guys, but, boy, there could have been a prime player there in that fourth-round pick. And then we get to number five, and we draft a relative unknown at safety. I mean, I'm not sure. I don't understand that move on Jerry's part. But, look.
You're talking about Mikal
Thompson. He's talking about, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a relative unknown. I mean, nobody, everybody was scratching their head. Who the heck is this guy?
Well, I mean, in fairness.
How do you let 60?
Len, in fairness.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, first of all, unfortunately, he got hurt. So we really have yet to see what he's going to pan out to be. But, you know, I mean, when you say a relative unknown, who knew who Victor Cruz was? And I understand Victor Cruz wasn't drafted. It was an undrafted guy. But sometimes the unknown commodities flourish. I don't think you can really just go by names, Len. It's all about the potential and the upside in them.
Okay, Lance, let me try to defend my point here. I understand that. But when you've given up your fourth, you don't, in the fifth round, you don't – I mean, they obviously saw something that no one else saw in this kid that moved them to – even the kid was surprised. He thought he was going to be an undrafted free agent. I mean, it's just – it didn't make sense to go from 00 at three – all the way to five, and then pick somebody who, what you?
I know what you're saying. We know what you're saying, and I will tell you that there's probably a philosophy, in my opinion, anywhere in the middle of the fifth round to the end of the seventh round are pretty much free agents anyways. I mean,
yeah, I got you.
The separation is not
so
right.
Much. There's
right.
Really between Hang those on. Guys, but I know your frustration. If you're sitting there at that fifth round, and you've gone from third down to the fifth. You want to make sure, in your opinion, that fifth rounder is more of an impactful player in your mind than a guy you never heard of.
Right.
So good point.
Hang on to another key here. Hang on to your draft picks. I mean, the draft picks are, draft picks are vital. I mean, luckily we had that second seven last year, and we were able to trade. We traded the second seven and got Wing, the punter, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
And, so it seems to me free agency is important, the draft is important. But, guys, we're not going anywhere unless some of these young players like Mikal Thompson, Matt Verhey, Bromley. I mean, we traded up for Bromley, and we're talking about drafting a defensive tackle.
I get it.
I don't get that thinking. Bromley's got to step up. It's time for 00 to step up.
We're going to have to let you go, but I will. I'm going to ask you a quick question, and I know you're going to love this one, but aren't you glad you got number 10 there and we're not having to talk about quarterbacks? I mean, that's a comfort for you, right?
And appreciate the phone call, Len. I mean, some of the guys he listed, and, once again, I understand where he's coming from, but, 00, these guys got to step up. They also have to stay healthy. I mean, let's not forget it. Nat Burhey has got to stay healthy. It's one thing to say you're frustrated, you're disappointed in their play. It's another thing to say that they haven't given you enough to actually judge their play. And I would go with the latter as opposed to the former point of view where let's see them get on the field before we all of a sudden come to a judgment on what they're ultimately going to be.
It would be great to be able to come to a judgment if we were to sit here and have all these guys actually play. and then be having these types of conversations.
Absolutely, yeah.
And saying, you know what, that Jay Bromley or that double O boy, we drafted him in the third round and he played 16 games this week and he is a piece of junk. I don't know what, but we can't. These guys,
just not enough substance,
you know,
at this point.
You got, and we, they, you know, you use the term, you know, we don't have enough sampling size of the, to, you got to have a sampling of these guys. You got to get them some time and on the field. And the guys that we were talking about, you know, Mikal Thompson and Double O, we're going to see. If you don't remember, there was this safety rotation thing throughout training camp that he was involved in, and he was starting for a period of time. I do know this, that the special teams coach, Tom Quinn, told me that he was probably one of their best gunners in camp. So there is a little bit of value to that. And those young guys, that's where they earn their pay, is on special teams early.
Because they're not going to be every down as a defender.
And those are your guys. Those fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounders, those guys are playing special teams for you. You know, your first three guys are going to play. The other guys are developing because that's why they're there. That's why they're fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks.
Like a Jeremy Davis, also at the wide receiver position.
There you go.
He's low on the depth chart. He's not going to be running routes.
And you look at what happened to Jeremy Davis. There was some sort of a disconnect at the end of the season where he had guys playing in front of him when he had been around on the active roster all season. There was guys coming off the practice squad. Now, whether that was we're going to give these guys a look for next year, I don't know. But, you know, there is a learning curve in the National Football League, especially for those kids that are the fifth round and down. You know, they're there. They're drafted in that sequence for a reason.
Those players, certainly, that a number of you have listed, including Len, I mean, everybody would agree that they need to step up. But I think priority number one is to get them healthy because, as you just pointed out, Jeff, when we were having this discussion about the safety position in training camp, there were about five or six options, and it wasn't as if they were beating each other out. The problem is the laundry list was dwindling because of the injury bug.
Yeah.
So by default, you came to the two guys that you were ultimately going to start because those were the healthiest options.
And it kept going all season long. You had, you know, you had Cooper Taylor, who went on and off the team, back and forth, practice squad starting often. You know, the one consistent guy was Landon Collins. You know, I mean, he played every single game. So I think that, you know, the durability is there for him, and I think that he has learned a little bit now being in the NFL for 16 games, and that certainly is not going to hurt him going into next year.
Well, that is going to wrap up the program today. A few reminders. Number one, stay locked to Giants.com all week long. We'll have full coverage from the Combine, features, interviews, you name it, as well as articles. And then starting tomorrow, Big Blue Kickoff Live will be live in Indianapolis, 2 hours, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, noon to 2 p.m. Eastern, specialty programming for the next 3 days. Then starting next Monday, we'll be back up and running with our one-hour show from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern. So enjoy all of the coverage over the next few days as we will cover every angle imaginable from Indianapolis. And thanks to all the callers. Thanks to everybody who weighed in on Twitter as well. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We'll speak to you tomorrow right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
All right, here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got two on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Intercepted!
Touchdown, Giants!